Greetings, you're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035, phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C like in Charles, E like in Erna, P like in Paul, H as in Hans, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept. If listeners have not seen the movie Matrix, Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or a womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix. The listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, intolerance, and climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him, summarized. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men, God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up of his holy habitation." Today I'm going to continue with the chilling significance of Pope John Paul's October 22, 1996 address. And this is about the One World Church by Wilson Uwin. This is a continuation of the One World Church by Wilson Uwin. I'm going back to Malachi Martin's exposure. Books by him are The Jesuits, The Final Conclave, The Keys of His Blood, The Keys of This Blood, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Church, The Jesuit Order from 1620 to 1750 and from 1850 to 1968. Its prestige and influence preserved the Church of Rome. Now it predicts the sudden raising and devastating annihilation of the Vatican and all relating to it. The change Pope John XXIII inaugurated was a liberalism that eventually destroyed the authority of the church and the morality of the people. Jesuit Malachi Martin states, "After Pope John's death, hundreds of theologians and bishops abandoned their belief in original sin, in the devil, and in many other fundamental doctrines. This has hurled the Church of Rome into the arms of communism." The former Jesuit and professor of the Pontifical Biblical Institute, Martin was a close associate of Jesuit Cardinal Augustine B. and Pope John XXIII. He has written 15 books on Vatican affairs, many being bestsellers. A passage from his 1987 work, The Jesuits, describes the wrecking of traditional Catholicism in these words: "An entire traditional way of religious life and practice was seemingly killed off, suddenly without warning. A centuries-old mentality was flushed out into a hurricane of change. A certain world of thought, feeling, attitude ceased to exist." The conclusion of his 1981 book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Catholic Church, The Roman Church, is that John Paul then is and can be nothing more than a pope of transition, a pope caught between the end of an era and the edgy beginnings of another. He cannot fit into the new era. He must preside over the beginnings of another. The decline and fall of his churchly organization. He must preside over the decline and fall of the churchly organization. Jesuit Martin predicted what this booklet now views as reality. His conclusion was based upon decades of information from Vatican sources. However, the Apostle John was shown these events 1,900 years ago and recorded them in the Bible, Book of Revelation. Futile, vain steps, and doomed to fail. John Paul II knows Mikhail Gorbachev, Fidel Castro, and other world leaders of like persuasion are hardcore Leninists. They all believe that religion is the opium of the people and must be abolished from the face of the earth. Before meeting John Paul on December 1st, 1989, Gorbachev said publicly, "I'm a communist, a convinced communist. We Marxists do not conceal our attitude toward the religious mind. We look down upon it as non-materialistic and unscientific." The Pope is facing reality and sees no chance for survival unless he leads his church in several steps. One is to maintain a public profile through papal visits and appearances. Again, the gathering of all religions under the leadership of, thirdly, perhaps long-lasting compromise with these Marxist enemies might be achieved through diplomatic channels and dialogue. But all these steps are vain, futile, and doomed to fail. Why? Lenin said, "Religion is a kind of spiritual gin in which the slaves of capital drown their human shape and their claims to any decent human life." Stalin wrote, "Have we suppressed the reactionary clergy? Yes, we have. The unfortunate thing is that it has not been completely liquidated." Comment. The reason for atheism in Stalin's case is mass murders, executions by the thousands, death camps from harsh treatments and starvation. Wikipedia has collected much information before 1991, the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Researchers who attempted to count the number of people killed under Stalin's regime produced estimates ranging from 3 to 60 million people. After the Soviet Union dissolved, evidence from the Soviet archives also became available, containing official records of 799,455 executions, 1921 through 1953, around 1.7 million deaths in the gulags, and some 390,000 deaths during Kulak forced resettlement, with a total of about 2.9 million officially recorded victims in these categories. The official Soviet archival records do not contain comprehensive figures for some categories of victims, such as those ethnic deportations or of the German population transfers in the aftermath of World War II. Eric D. Weitz wrote, "By 1948, according to Nicholas Wirth, the mortality rate of the 600,000 people deported from the Caucasus between 1943 and 1944 had reached 25%. Other notable exclusions from NKVD data on repression death include the Katyn massacre, other killings in the newly occupied areas, and the mass shootings of Red Army personnel, deserters, and so-called deserters in 1941. The Soviets executed 158,000 soldiers for the deserting during the war, and the blocking detachments of the NKVD shot thousands more. Also, the official statistics on Gulag mortality exclude death of prisoners taken place shortly after their release, but which resulted from the harsh treatment in the camps. The reading of this booklet will be continued next week, and this transcript will be published on the website www.cephas-radio.com. You can subscribe to our monthly newsletter that's free at go-cephas.com. Thanks for listening. God be with you. Shalom. Rita Williams at cephasministry.com.